For the rest of this week on Culture File, we're going to be exploring the conductor, how the figure emerged in the history of music, and what its future might be in the transformed world of post-COVID music. On Friday, we'll be talking to some of those currently working out the sounds of social distance in the Culture File debate, more of which anon. But before that, we're going to look back to a time in which seating arrangements at concerts took yet another form. The title of Peter Holm latest book, Before the Baton, refers to an era in musical history before groups of musicians were controlled by a thin white stick or even a rolled up sheet of paper held by one revered maestro or another, before the conductor. Peter Holman talked to Áine Gallagher about the conductor's origin story.
I'm slightly unusual, I suppose, in that I'm both an academic, I'm a retired professor at the University of Leeds, I'm also a performer, particularly directing early music groups of all sorts, and playing in them, playing keyboard. And I suppose about 10 years ago, became increasingly dissatisfied with the way that we direct early music groups using modern conducting technique. And at the same time, I was becoming interested in the historical evidence for how it was done in the 17th and 18th centuries. So that's really what led to the book. It's interesting that modern baton conducting, in a way I define that by, it's not just the thin white stick which gradually came in the 19th century, but it's also the idea that you can affect an interpretation in performance. You're not just beating time as people earlier on did, you're not just keeping the ensemble together. You're actually imposing an interpretation on the music in the performance, and it affects dynamics and balance and all the things you see modern conductors doing. That actually happened in France in the late 18th century and spread to Germany and came to England in 1830s. Actually, it was by a Frenchman, a man called Chélard, who was directing a German opera group who came to London in 1832, and he was an inspiration to the English musical directors around at the time. Also, Mendelssohn was a very important influence too. He came to England again in the 1820s and was very influential in changing the concept towards modern baton conducting. Although he himself, I think, wouldn't have been thought of as a modern conductor. In fact, Wagner called him a mere Kapellmeister, i.e. someone who beat time.
One of the subjects that you cover in the book is that what we know of the conductor to be today has moved from being within the ensemble to outside the ensemble in different positions all over the place from as soon as notated music began. So it's an interesting thing about the position of the conductor.
That's right. I think Handel is a very good example. He's the central figure in the book, really, both in opera and in oratorio. With opera, it's quite clear that he preferred to play the harpsichord rather than conduct. In fact, no one directing Italian opera in the 18th century ever waved their arms around as they play. The important thing was to lead from the continuo instrument, from the harpsichord, which was, of course, the continuo in Baroque opera being the most important element of the instrumental. And Handel would have been placed not in the middle of the pit, but right at the side, where he was right against the stage and had good communication with the singers, but wouldn't have been in a position to direct the orchestra in the modern way. So, I mean, that was easy to establish because it was the universal Italian practice throughout the 18th century. And went actually even into the 19th century. The people were still directing either from the violin, that was a later model actually, directing from the violin in the late 18th century in the pit. But even in Verdi, the people were still not conducting in the modern way. When Handel started producing oratorios in England, this was a rather new idea, and so he had to work out a method of directing it. He tried out various things, including beating time, which was what happened in large-scale church music. And he would have beaten time with a roll of paper. That was the standard 18th century model in things like the coronation anthems. Or should he play the harpsichord as in opera, or should he beat time? And eventually he
devised a system where he was able to direct from the keyboard. I spent quite a long time trying to work out exactly how he did this, and he had a harpsichord connected to an organ, and he, in the choruses of the oratorios, he played the organ part of it, and in the arias and recitatives, he played the harpsichord.
Now, these spaces that he would have been using would have been different to the modern-day spaces that early music ensembles use. We wouldn't have seen the sunken theatre as you do today.
Well, no, in opera, no, they didn't have sunken pit. That's something we have to thank Wagner for, is the sunken pit. The whole idea of the sunken pit is that the conductor is the only person who can see the stage, whereas in 18th century opera, it was essential that all the orchestra could see the stage and interact with the performers, and particularly the continuo players. I mean, I've spent many years playing in opera groups and trying to get myself into a position where I could actually see the stage easily, and you often have to put the harpsichord up onto blocks and things to try and get rid of these wretched sunken pits to actually... because I think 18th century opera depends on the interaction between the instrumentalists and the singers. Without the conductor...
Which is a very basic and simple visual to describe one of the ideas which you talk about throughout the book of collective interpretation, which is to an orchestral musician, kind of an unusual idea, but when playing early music makes a lot more sense because of the actual musical style.
Well, I suppose quite a good analogy would be with modern popular music and jazz, that on the whole, even quite large jazz bands, for instance, don't perform with a conductor. They just listen to each other and produce a collective interpretation. I think this is, for me, the important thing, is that everyone in the ensemble is contributing to a performance with shared stylistic norms, whereas the mainstream today is to have a conductor who imposes his interpretation on the music. So it's therefore becomes the expression of a single person rather than a collective. With early music, we need to get back to this collective idea. And stars, sun and stars.
Peter Holman there, and next time, how changes in the global economy help produce the figure of the conductor. And don't forget the Culture File debate, when contemporary conductors discuss with us how the role of the conductor is changing again. That's in the Culture File debate, Friday at 7 p.m. here on RTE Lyric FM.